What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo, and joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamore. Shams, how are you doing on this day where the Four Nations captains got announced? We're almost into the break.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like with the Four Nations, it's just nice to see that, I don't know the whole team, but I'll take having Granlund somehow becoming an alternate captain for his team just to show just like the glow up he's had ever since leaving Pittsburgh. It's basically, I'm guessing, getting a GM fired to becoming a alternate captain on effectively an all-star team. So interesting to see him doing well.
That certainly is an interesting one. I'm actually kind of excited. I think this Four Nations break comes at a fascinating time for fantasy, where there will be 3 weeks left and you'll have a pretty good look at what your playoff odds are and what your bye week odds are. And it'll give you a full, it's almost 2 weeks, actually. It's like 11 days to reassess, make some trades, so on and so forth. So I think that's pretty cool. Well, with that, let's get straight into the news. And I have to start with my Seattle Kraken doing what I never thought they would do, but I am so happy about it. They fired Philip Grubauer into the sun. By that, I mean they waived him and sent him to the AHL, but same thing. So it's Joey DeCord's probably going to get every game from here on out. They called up Alish Stezka, a 28-year-old journeyman from the AHL. I don't think he's played an NHL game yet. I don't really think he's going to play much. But Bylsma did not close the door on Grubauer returning. It's worth noting the AHL team plays four games during that Four Nations break, so Grubauer can continue getting practice and game time when the rest of the league is on pause. But is there anything really useful for fantasy here?
At this point, maybe if you're like a paranoid person worried about Grubauer getting starts, this makes you feel better because, if I remember correctly, he was like, after that injury period where DeCord was out for a few games, I forget if it was sick or whatnot, but after he came back from there, there may have been a start or two of Grubauer, but after that, it was literally just DeCord straight. And the only time Grubauer got a play was on a back-to-back, and then this last back-to-back broke the back of just any hope of him playing again. So it's nice to see teams like the Kraken and Pittsburgh with Jari just saying, you know what? Just because we gave you a lot of money and we wanted you to play well, to actually see the product on the ice and actually bite the bullet. So while it doesn't change anything for this moment, maybe it might be something to keep in mind for your dynasty or multi-year leagues that maybe we won't have to do this dance. If I have a feeling that Grubauer is going to be around because no one's taking that contract and I don't think you're going to do a buyout, but maybe this might give a hint to next year where you might want to have a little bit more interest keeping him as a keeper because he might be doing this again at the start of next year.
I actually think they're going to buy him out this summer. I think they're going to buy him out, bring in a 1 year Martin Jones type or Anthony Stolarz, Alex Lyon type backup. Because the thing I noticed, Grubauer is 5-15-1 this year in his starts, or the Kraken are 5-15-1 in Grubauer's starts. If you move that to 10-10-1, which is just kind of an average backup, the Kraken are in a playoff spot. So it's not just Grubauer. I think getting a backup goalie on that particular Kraken team to go 500 might be a bit too much to ask, but he's outright lost them games with his horrendous play. I didn't get to see their duck game against the Ducks Tuesday, but one of my buddies told me it looks like a beer league game. So that's a never good. But I think we've spent far too much time on my home team and a terrible goalie. So let's get to some of the other news. Injury-wise, Miro Heiskanen is out week to week. It's definitely going to be a while. I don't believe it's year-ending, but he's going to have an MRI in New York tomorrow. That's not great. It's good for Thomas Harley, I assume, is the biggest beneficiary of this. Anybody else who catches your eye in Dallas?
I think really at this point, it's mostly him. And then just kind of the idea is that Heiskanen played a lot of minutes. So now that minutes get spread around. So maybe your Esa Lindell is going to be in a position to get a few more hits and blocks, that kind of thing. But Harley was already probably, depending on how deep your league is, probably rostered in most. So I'm not sure how much that changes, maybe just how you feel about him as part of your roster. But for the rest of the team, I think it's just going to be more of just the minute-eating defensemen are just going to get maybe a little bit more peripheral power.
I agree. I think some of the peripheral-type guys who could be getting more ice time, Lindell's a good one, Labushkin, Dumba, all could get, you know, an extra hit per game if they're playing two more minutes a night, because they're going to spread out those minutes. So that may pique some relevance in banger block leagues as a streamer. The other injury from last night, Owen Tippett is out tonight, but there's no further update. What's the fallout here? I know Tippett's kind of been a disappointment this season for a lot of people who drafted him.
So the interesting thing is from this is that we got some new lines that came out of that they're playing tonight right now. They don't have any goals, but I think that's more on Sorokin than it is on the Philly team. Is right now they actually have, they don't really have a top line, but the most interesting line to me is that they had for a long time Forrester, Cates, and Brink together, which was a line that was always doing something, but like I could never feel right about playing any of them because you just weren't getting minutes. So what they did now is they took Konechny up to that line, replacing Brink. So now it's Forrester, Cates, and Konechny. And that's kind of an interesting line there. I might be tempted, depending on how deep my league is, of taking a chance on Forrester or Cates, because they were doing stuff before. And now I actually have someone like Konechny on that line, which is probably the most trusted forward that the coach has, that if they're going to trust him to be with those guys, they're probably going to see just more minutes all around.
I think Philly has frustratingly flattened their top nine. So, yeah, all of these guys are moderately interesting in, you know, whatever scenario you can stream them. I'm honestly, though, at the point where I think Konechny's the only long-term hold on Philly. And note, that does not include Matvei Michkov. He's been ice cold for a long time and is playing on the fourth line with Couturier. Well, maybe the fourth line. I don't really know. The order of these lines looks off to me. But he's definitely slowed down a ton. Philly's just been frustrating. You mentioned they're getting shut out by Sorokin today. They got shut out by Jake Allen last night, so they may go two straight games without a goal, as I quickly tab back to make sure they haven't scored while I was talking. That's kind of my take on the Philly offense at this point. I know they changed up the power play to try to get some juice, but yeah, it's kind of a slog over there. Next up, we'll go to the outcheries, and I guess this one isn't really an outchery, but we just want to mention that John Klingberg is playing for the Oilers tonight. You may or may not have noticed that he got signed to a contract there. I don't think he has particularly much relevance unless he gets power play one, which maybe they'll do the thing where they keep Bouchard off of power play one because they want him to play less minutes because he's going to be important for a playoff run. And Klingberg needs to be sheltered, therefore he's on that first power play. I think, like, maybe the best-case scenario is, like, PP2 Tyson Berry-type value, and even that, I'm like, eh, whatever. But do you have a different opinion on how relevant John Klingberg could be for Edmonton?
I think this is one of those put him on a watch list. The nice thing is that he's played with Ekholm, even strength, so he's not being hidden on the third pair, and with their defensive setup in Edmonton, Ekholm is going to be a guy that they need to play a lot. So being paired with him could be in a position to see some good minutes and maybe just kind of, you know, do a random chip out of the ice and McDavid catches it and gets a goal and he gets an assist kind of thing. But I'm not rushing to get him, but just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I haven't looked closely, but if I remember correctly, the Oilers lean very heavily on their top two pairings, with being one of those teams where the third pairing plays like 13 minutes a night. And so that would mean that, you know, if Klingberg can crack that second pairing with either Ekholm or Nurse on the other side, maybe he plays 20 minutes a night. That's actually if you want to talk about other defensemen, Tony DeAngelo, who just debuted for the Islanders, I'm actually kind of interested because he played 25 minutes in his first game and 22 in his second. And like, that's enough for a defenseman with an offensive skill set for me to give him a shot. I guess since we're talking about defensemen, three different defensemen came back from injury yesterday or today. That would be Mikhail Sergachev, Drew Doughty, and Charlie McAvoy. All three took back their power play one spot. I don't think you can pick any of these guys up, but which one are you most interested in for the rest of the season?
I would have to say Sergachev is probably the one that I'm most interested in because I feel like that one probably moves the needle of the power play the most because I forget the person that was on it before. No disrespect to them because without Durzi, they really kind of had to just kind of scramble and find someone that was like kind of interesting that having Sergachev who had, you know, we'll never know why, but was able to overtake Hedman for a full year in power play one and produce in for the Lightning makes me interested that that just kind of breaks the stock of everyone else up with Utah.
Do you have any concern about Sergachev losing that power play one spot to Sean Durzi when Durzi returns? It's kind of hard to tell from pre-injury because Durzi only played 3.5 games.
To be honest, at this point, I'm just waiting to see if Durzi even comes back, and if he comes back, like, how well he comes back. Because, like, he's just been, if I remember correctly, like, he's skating a little bit here and there. So, at this point, maybe if someone's extremely high on him, on Sergachev, and willing to pay top dollar for a trade, I'm not thinking about moving about to protect myself from any situation. Sure, it can happen, but right now where I'm looking at it, I'm just willing to take the points where I can get them and worry about Durzi affecting something, even if he comes back, and then see what happens then.
That's fair. And even if he loses power play one, I think Sergachev is probably more interesting than McAvoy and Doughty. I'm highly skeptical of Drew Doughty's ability to move the needle for your fantasy team, given how old he is, the team he plays on, and that he's coming back from a pretty serious injury. That's just, I don't know. I've never really been a huge fan as far as the fantasy value is concerned. Obviously, he's a great player and may end up on Team Canada with Pietrangelo sitting out. Speaking of Sean Durzi, it looks like, just to reiterate, Durzi is practicing with the team, but won't be reevaluated until after the Four Nations. So that probably puts him middle of that return week at the earliest. Additionally, suddenly Dylan Guenther is day-to-day. Last I had seen is he was injured with no timetable, and I kind of had assumed he'd be out for the season. I would have probably dropped him if I had him and had a roster crunch. I advised a couple friends of mine to do that, and fortunately none of them listened to me because I would have looked pretty dumb if they did that. It now sounds like he could just return after the Four Nations if he's day-to-day, give him next week and then 11 days off, along with some of the other guys that could be making an impact. That's exciting.
Yeah, it'll be something interesting to watch, especially with that power play, because I think it's probably be a simple replacement of Josh Doan, because like I had some interest in him when he got called up, but he's basically done nothing. I think he's literally gotten two games with points and then hasn't done anything. So I think it will be a simple replacement of him on the second line and on the top power play. And if you had any interest in Josh Doan, I think this is going to hit of just moving away. I know they have a good schedule, but the 0 points, you can get them elsewhere.
Yeah, I suspect Josh Doan is going back down to the minors where he was before Guenther's injury. With that, let's take a quick ad break.
Playoffs. We're talking about playoffs. You bet we are. Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Scoring touchdowns is the key to winning in the playoffs, and you can score big by betting on them at DraftKings, the number one place to bet touchdowns. Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple like a player to score 6. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make your pick. Or hey, if you want to bet on hockey, I'm taking a look now at DraftKings Sportsbook over on the Calder odds for this year. Man, I really got it wrong putting my money on Matvei Michkov in my earlier episode. episode with Victor. Michkov is at a plus 2,500 odds subject to change. So looks like they are not predicting that he's going to make me look smart here. It's Macklin Celebrini and Lane Hutson as the two favorites at the moment. If you agree or if you feel differently, hey, maybe you'll want to make a bet over on DraftKings. New DraftKings customers, by the way, can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got, instead of some hot and cold players tonight, we've got some cold teams to talk about. Why don't you walk me through the stats you found for the Los Angeles Kings in their recent games?
Yeah, this is just scary. Now, this is all from yesterday, not including today, but if I remember correctly, they have yet to score a goal and are in the third period right now, so this basically sticks the same, is that they have two or fewer goals in 10 of their last 11 games in LA, and only two players on the whole team have more than a half point per game. Not a point per game, more than a half point per game, and it's Kempe and Fiala, which are probably, if you're going to point to two players, those are the only two. And then just to kind of evidence show this of just kind of how bad this is that in Kakupful, the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patreon Fantasy League, where we have stats for shooting and hits and blocks as well of getting points, is that on average, you would say that a streamer level or above streamer player is 4 Kakupful points a day. And this is the 30-day average. We have Kempe with 5.3, Fiala with 4.1, and then you'll never guess who's the third best? Mikey Anderson with 3 points. I'm not even sure I would keep that. Like, that's not maybe like a streamer level at best. So, like, I know that, like, it's going to be hard. I'm not saying rush out to maybe, like, other than obviously Kempe and Fiala, those are obvious keeps. I'm not sure I'm ready to give up on Kopitar, but, like, those three are probably the only three forwards I give carte blanche keep. And then the other players, you have to have a serious look at your waiver wire. I know they have a good schedules coming up, but like games only matter if they're actually going to get points. And if you don't know confidently they're going to get points, you could shave a game or two off the next week or two and actually get someone that's going to produce for you.
That's absolutely true. One of the reasons this is so frustrating for this cold snap to happen now is I had identified the Kings at the beginning of this week, basically, to be a team worth adding players from for a couple weeks in a row because they had a good schedule this week. They've got two off nights next week when Tuesday and Saturday are pretty busy. And then the week coming back from Four Nations, they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, again on a week where Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday are really busy. So I had targeted, you know, the Quinton Byfields and the Alex Laferrières of the world. And you're right, maybe that's just not good, and I'd be better off getting two games from someone on a better team than four from a King. I'm going to stick with it because I've already made the ads, I guess. I kind of tend to think that this has to turn around. Like, the Kings aren't as bad as they've shown. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10. They might be getting shut out again tonight. I'm just kind of waiting for the dam to break. I think they're going to put five in on someone in the next couple games, and then things will kind of be a bit easier. I'm sure they're all gripping their six a bit tight. But yeah, that's a really tough situation, especially because they're pushing for a playoff spot, and they're kind of on the outside looking in now.
And I'd be hesitant on that because you say they'll put in like five goals on a team and it'd be fixed, right? If I remember correctly, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, they just demolished the Vancouver. I think it was actually they got like five goals that game and then just went right back to be in the mediocrity. So like now in Jeremy's position where you have the players already and you may have done some strategy, maybe, you know, you might not want to just cut them right away because ads are expensive and you might not be able to reuse them. But if you're doing the, you know, when you listen to Matchup Maximizer over the weekend and then you see the Kings being listed there because they're going to have the good schedule, just make sure to spend that extra time listening on that, those other teams that maybe have another busy night or two. They might actually just be better, but it is going to be that situation where if you're waiting for the playoffs and you're not sure you're going to make it, I'm not sure you can hold. But if you have a little bit of give that you can maybe take a loss and not be out of it, you know, your Byfields, those kind of guys, maybe you might be able to sit on it and find gold when they, you know, hopefully break out of this funk.
And who's the other team that you identified that has been ice cold lately?
And no surprise, because we're hearing them in the news for every reason other than their play, the Vancouver Canucks. And this was just a crazy stat that I saw that was tweeted yesterday when Hoglander got his goal. He has two goals. There's two players that have more goals. And sorry, when I say two goals, I mean two goals in the month of January. If you look at the calendar right now, we're at the 30th. And I don't believe they play anytime soon. So even if they play tomorrow, that's still two goals in the whole month. And the only two other players that have more goals than that, JT Miller with three and Connor Garland with four in the whole month. So in this situation where it's kind of odd is that they actually have been winning, but it's actually been on the back of both of their goalies. I believe they've only let in like a handful of goals throughout the past few days. So the goalies have been really showing it up. And other than, you know, Quinn Hughes with all of his assists right now, he's been, you know, a Hart Trophy, both on like candidate, in my opinion, for both real life and in fantasy for being able to do everything in this situation. But just to kind of keep in mind is that right now, other than maybe, you know, obviously you got your JT Miller, you're going to be keeping your Quinn Hughes. Brock Besser and like Pettersson are maybe kind of hovering around for your forwards, but like after that, I'm not sure how much I'm fishing for. Like, this is, I'm not saying like outright drop, but if these are the guys, like, say if you have like a Connor Garland at the bottom of your roster or Jake DeBrusk, those kind of guys, just I want you to look at your roster, look at the free agency, and be honest with yourself and be like, are the players at free agency better? And forget about where you drafted these guys or where you picked them up, because there is a good chance, depending on how shallow your league is, how deep your league is, there are better players out there.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I would consider dropping some of those guys. Another thing, you mentioned that this has been on the back of their goaltending. I'd actually argue it's been on the back of Quinn Hughes, who in the last 25, in the last 13 games, they have 25 non-empty net goals, which is pretty lousy. That's like less than two goals a game. Quinn Hughes has a point on 16 out of 25 and has been on the ice for 20 out of 25. He is single-handedly trying to keep that team in the playoff race. He should definitely be getting Norris consideration. I see people on Twitter arguing that he should be getting the Hart. I'm not going to give an opinion on that because I haven't looked into it. Just kind of crazy how one guy is really keeping that team afloat. And I don't think it turns around until this off-ice issue is resolved for them. And who knows when that's going to happen. One last thing that isn't on the card that I just saw come through the Discord. It looks like Andre Kuzmenko was scratched by Calgary tonight. He's got, I think, 4 points in his last five games. And apparently the reason for the scratch is because they are in trade talks with Philadelphia involving him. So keep an eye out for a trade that may involve Philadelphia and Calgary. I would love to see Andre Kuzmenko playing for Tortorella. That would not go well.
And something to keep in mind is that that's probably a hint that Tippett's probably not in a good position, that you're not looking to be trading for a scoring winger where your prime target is 100% healthy.
That's a good point. I don't know the contract length left. I don't really think that Philly is pushing for a playoff spot. So I kind of find it weird that they're actively trying to replace Tippett instead of replacing from within, unless Kuzmenko's on one of those expiring deals and maybe the deal is something else and they get another NHL guy as a benefit. But we'll find out more. That broke literally like 10 minutes ago, so we don't have much info. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, Lewis, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to deal with the rest of Twitter. It includes team-by-team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music are created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.